The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to be shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. After the wise men had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night and went to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled: "He will be called a Nazarene." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
When the wise men saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Please be seated. Well, Happy New Year. I trust that you are all coming well along with your resolutions and are eagerly looking forward to the new yous that we'll be seeing here in a couple of months. Personally, I decided many years ago to have the same two resolutions every year. That way the implementation could be slower, because I always have next year, right? But enough of that. 2019 starts off in here at Calvary today with the Day of the Epiphany. Epiphany Day is always on January 6th. That's 13 days after the birth of Jesus. But since the 6th is only on Sunday every 6 or 7 years, then we often miss out on celebrating a major feast of the church. But not so this year. That's why we read more of chapter 2 in Matthew than is usually prescribed. I wanted us to be able to hear the whole saga of the wise men and the Holy Family's flight to Egypt and their return to Nazareth, because it is such a great story, and we don't hear the whole thing very often at all. But let's begin at the beginning. As we have said before, the root word of epiphany means manifestation or revelation. So epiphany is the season in which we celebrate the manifestation of Christ to the world. During epiphany, our gospel readings will focus on the events in the life of Christ that reveal his divinity to us, that give evidence of his oneness with God. It's also the season when we will see the imagery of Christ as the light of the world, as the one bringing light into a broken and sinful world. A biblical understanding of epiphany is not just that it's a new understanding or a new something that was formerly obtuse, now we understand. You know, we often throw the word around when we're talking about aha moments. We'll say, I had an epiphany. Epiphany is more than that. As one commentator said, there comes a moment when an important truth suddenly becomes clear and we can reinterpret our past and rethink our future in light of that new understanding. So an epiphany is more than an aha. An epiphany is so startlingly significant that it causes us to reinterpret things that have gone before and then rethink about what is coming. And to be that significant, I would say that by definition, the Holy Spirit must be at work in that epiphany moment. I remember an epiphany of mine. It occurred a long time ago, but it's a story that I've not told before. Happened when I was working as an oil marketer in Singapore. I think it was probably our third year there. The New American School had just opened that fall. It was a huge state-of-the-art campus with everything needed to accommodate up to 4,000 students from pre-K through high school. Both of our kids attended there, and it was a great experience for them. It was also great for Sherry and me because that got us in contact with other American families through our association with the school, and so we met new friends that way. And that's where my story starts. I remember being surprised when, near the end of the workday, our receptionist told me that John from Conoco was on the line and that it was urgent. John and I were friends, but our companies did not really have any mutual business, and so our conversations were usually casual and outside of work. Urgent calls were not expected, so I immediately answered. "Did you hear what happened at the school today?" he asked. "No, what happened?" "Brittany Smith, you know, the Smith's youngest girl, she fell running track after school and was taken to the hospital. I believe it's serious." Well, that initial report didn't make a lot of sense, but as the phone lines within the American expat community began to heat up, I learned that the news was even worse. Brittany had fallen because she had suffered cardiac arrest. And although the ambulance was there within minutes, they were unable to revive her. This bright and vivacious eighth grader, full of life in one moment, was gone in the next. And it happened right there in full view of her shocked classmates. It was awful. Nothing so wounds a community as to lose one of its children. It was all we could think about or talk about. The next night, I got a call from the vicar, the rector of our Anglican church that we went to. He said, "Your people want to have some kind of prayer service here for that girl that died." "Your people" was how he always referred to Americans when he and I talked. He was British, and he liked to pretend that we had not yet earned our way to equal status. Plus, he liked to blame me for anything bad that any American did anywhere in the world. I let it go this time. And instead I said, why St. George's? I don't really know the Smiths that well. He said, I'm not sure. Apparently they have Anglican roots. They called and asked if we could do something. They don't have anything specific in mind. They just have this overwhelming sense that something needs to get done, that people need to get together, a service of some kind, mostly for the kids. It's set for tomorrow night at 6. Are you available to help? I said, sure. What do you want me to do? He said, well, it's just going to be a basic prayer service with a few songs, no eulogies, just prayers, songs, and a short homily. I've called four persons, including you, and your assignment, since I was senior warden and an American and connected to the school, my assignment was to pray for the American community and particularly the school and especially the kids. I don't think I slept that night. I kept getting up and reworking my prayer. I'd often served on Sundays as a Eucharistic minister, but this was way out of my comfort zone. So while the prayer I was writing was for those who were mourning, the prayer I was praying while I wrote was for me, that I could somehow be a light of God's love in the darkness of tragic death. The next evening, people started arriving early to the church, and they just kept coming and coming and coming. By the time we started, the church was packed, probably held 400 sitting down. Half that many again were more than likely in the aisles and standing outside and looking in. Our church did not have air conditioning, just a few scattered ceiling fans. And so everyone was hot and uncomfortable as the service began. My turn came much too soon. As I stepped up into the lectern, I looked out and saw a few people that I knew. But I was taken aback by how miserable everyone looked. There was this sea of blank stares and pained expressions, and I could feel this incredible tension, this incredible weight, as if there weren't enough air for us to breathe. I remember my first words were, let's all stop and take a couple of deep breaths. And they did. They did, and I actually saw shoulders relax and some people adjust themselves to sit further back in their pews. And then I decided to do the strangest thing. I left my carefully crafted prayer in my pocket and instead started to talk. I talked about how incomprehensible it was for someone as young as Brittany to die so suddenly without warning. I talked about how hard it was to accept that she was gone. But mostly, I talked about how difficult it was to understand why a loving God would let such a horrible thing happen to this bright, young, innocent girl with so much to offer. And as I gave voice to what everyone in the church was also thinking and feeling, I could see expressions change. And I saw nods and stony expressions that began to look warmer. And it seemed like the air was lighter, less oppressive. I remember saying that I don't have any answers to those hard questions, no answers at all. But understand that God promises to be with us when things are most difficult. And then I prayed some of the prayer that I could remember and ad lib the rest. And then with my knees feeling suddenly weak, I collapsed back to my seat, completely drained and overwhelmed. But also feeling that something very important had just happened in my life. After the service, many people sought me out to express their appreciation for my words and my prayer. And lightly sprinkled in those compliments were a few suggestions that I might consider ordained ministry. Wasn't the first time I'd heard such a thing, but this time it was different. because this time I began to think about those previous nudges toward ministry in a new light. And this time, for the first time, I began to seriously consider that God might actually be at work in my life. Epiphany is when an important truth suddenly becomes clear and you get a different perspective of both your past and your future. It was my epiphany moment. In our gospel reading on this Epiphany morning, we have the familiar story of the Magi, or wise men, traveling from the east to Jerusalem to see the newborn King of the Jews. And after being redirected by the Jewish elders and King Herod to go to Bethlehem, they resume their long journey. And behold, the same star reappears and guides them to the very house where Jesus and his family are staying. And we read that when they saw the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw this child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Paid him homage, obviously, with some very expensive gifts befitting a king, but the real homage was paid by their presence and by the long distance that they had traveled to see him. Because this revelation of Christ to these three foreigners changed everything. Now the Gentiles, us, those who had never considered ourselves as part of God's plan of salvation for the chosen ones, now we suddenly have a front row seat. This epiphany moment with the outsiders kneeling at the bedside of the Christ child causes us to completely reconsider what we've known before. Reconsider the prophecies and the meanings of the Hebrew scripture. No longer is it the exclusive text of old Jerusalem. It has now become the roadmap for the future salvation of the world. Salvation that even includes the Gentiles. And now we can look at what went before in a new light. We can discover that we were always part of God's restorative plan for the world. Epiphany. Epiphany is when an important truth suddenly becomes clear and you get a different perspective, both of the past and of the future. And so what do we take away from all this for today? And then tomorrow and next week? Well, I would say, be like the Magi. Be open to God doing something new and different in your life. Be open to going where you've not been before. Be willing to step out and take a risk or two in the faith that God will see you safely to your journey's end. We won't see Christ's light if our eyes are focused only on the familiar and the comfortable. We will just stay in our little warm, dark room. So here we are at the start of a new year. I joked when I started about New Year's resolutions that are usually doomed before they begin. But this year, let's don't resolve just to lose weight or read more or get home from work earlier. This year, prayerfully reflect on your gifts and think about how you can use those gifts to glorify God by sharing them with others. In our Old Testament reading, Isaiah proclaims, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." What better admonition is that for the start of a new year and for the day of Epiphany? Arise. Shine. Your light has come. Don't miss the moment that changes everything. Amen. Amen.